How does one enter the kingdom of God? The ancient network of Moses' law required a password. Password was circumcision. Some believed it necessary for admission to the holy. But the Apostle Paul knew Jesus Christ had thrown open the doors of heaven when he broke free of the burial tomb. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. It is finished, saith the Lord. Be thankful. Repent from trying every other way to make ourselves holy and receive the kingdom of God as a child. Receive God's invitation to the kingdom for what it is, purely a gift. Cannot be earned, cannot be bought. Thus, gifted as we are, Jesus calls us to follow him to every town and place where he himself intends to go. He tells the disciples then and us now, go on your way. First and foremost, be peacemakers. Peace to this house. First, bring peace. And he says, if anyone is there who shares in peace, notice, it's not everyone. Be content to start small. Start with one person. Make sure you yourself are bringing peace before expecting anyone else to respond in peace. And then to grow the peace, Jesus says, remain in the same house. Stay, live, listen. You receive the kindness of others. You give thanks. You give of yourself. You share in the work. We learn to give and receive peace and bring it to others from this place. This past holiday weekend, a kind of late decision, I went away for a few days. And in hindsight, I feel sent. I went to Atlanta. I went to a Braves game. And I had a nice time. But I did something different. I took a Greyhound bus up and back. Tickets were exorbitant last minute. Driving on Route 95 held no appeal, especially on a holiday, so I tried something different. I took a bus. And I had a luxury of time to just be and relax and reflect and write this sermon. On the way, the short week being such as it was. The surroundings and my fellow travelers soon began to shape my reflection. I don't say this to be funny, but on the way back, I felt a little like Woody Guthrie. The way he painted pictures of this country in word and song, riding the rails and seeing people suffering the effects of the Great Depression. They say his travels changed him, as did my travels this time, this way, change me. I learned downtown Atlanta appears to have an even larger population of homeless people than does Jacksonville. Stands to reason, given the size of Atlanta. But the sheer numbers of people out begging on street corners early Saturday morning, the presence of so many people in need, poor and not well in appearance, shook me to the core. If there is an illustration of the harvest being plentiful, that was it. There is a political debate heating up, leading to the presidential election. Much of it will be about how good the economy is or isn't and who it is good for. But the people I saw on the street corners begging for a handout, people I traveled with on the bus, for whom it was their only option of travel, they're not being invited to the debate to have their say. These are the people America has forgotten and left behind. They are witnesses to the evidence that the harvest is plentiful and the laborers few. The trip changed me. It changed this sermon, and maybe God had that in mind when I made the decision to travel the way I did. Now the people out there have more of a voice in here. They have names and faces as we hear Jesus say in our generation, cure the sick who are there where you are, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. They need to know they have a voice and are being heard. The gospel today is good news. There's joy to be had on the journey. The 70 return with joy, saying, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. They're amazed at the power they unleash. All week, you and I are sent by God to take our place in the world on behalf of Christ and the people he's come to save from deprivation and indignity, injustice and cruelty. God's mission does have to do with what we say, and more so what we do. How we live among our families and neighbors, how we live in American community matters. Thus, Jesus has a word of caution for his followers. He recounts how he gives power to them over evil and assures them of his providential care. And then he says, nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Be careful with power, Jesus warns. Keeping circumcision as an initiation rite in the early church was a manipulation of power. How is the power of religion used today to manipulate truth, to keep things from changing, to protect what the powerful have? Rather than rejoice over power gained, Jesus tells us to rejoice as being made part of the family. Take account of what we have humbly. Practice humility here for the good of all, especially for those of the family of faith, the poor, the hungry, and those without hope. If you have peace today, if you desire to heal, if joy becomes you, join the psalmist to proclaim, you have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Therefore, my heart sings to you without ceasing. We have more than enough to be thankful for. And to celebrate. Practice peace here, healing here, celebrate here, and then let's take it on the road, joyfully, where it will make a difference, until we meet here again. In the name of God, amen.